gentlemen. This is Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for Higher Dimensions. And despite a little bit of a confusion on our website, our tonight's guest is not Dr. Alan Chips, but Robert Otto. He is a wonderful hypnotherapist. I've taken one of his workshops, and he has done a lot of them. He's done more than 4,000 of them. He's done behavior modification. He's a world-class presenter, and he is really wonderful. He's wonderful to watch, and you learn an awful lot. And I am so delighted to have him on the show this day. And I want you to call in with your questions and comments if you can, if you want to. He's also worked with major hospitals and corporations, and he's had other guest appearances on radio shows and TV shows. So, Robert Otto, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing, Phyllis? I haven't seen you since, Virginia Beach?
Yes, that's right, down at the National Association for Transpersonal Hypnotherapists, their conference.
How you been?
Oh, fine. I've lost weight.
You lost weight. How'd you do?
Well, I did fine. I listened to your CD.
Okay.
Dr. Otto, I don't know. I keep calling you doctor. I just saw
That's
the word
fine.
Hospitals. And it makes me think of hospitals. Anyway, I did go to the conference. I took a couple of his workshops. He did hypnotize me for weight loss, and I've lost about 22 pounds.
Well, that's good.
Okay, it was a little more, but then I've been sick, and so I haven't been able to do more than I wanted to. But I'm back on the regimen. Okay.
Beautiful.
And I expect
good for
to
you.
Lose more, so I'm really thrilled, folks. It does work, hypnotherapy, and it does work, and how he does it and structures his CD. I think it's wonderful for those of you who are looking for weight loss. I think you have some other CDs too, but I don't know that weight loss works well for me. And I've got to say that I've had an awful lot of comments on the walking on glass.
Did you?
Yes. I used it on one of my marketing flyers, and I'm telling you, it had generated an awful lot of interest.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I've used it in some of my ads. It really works well, and this is really a marvelous show that people can go to, and a seminar that they can take or a workshop. But I want you to talk about it. I mean, this is your bailiwick. This is what you do.
Well,
so go ahead and talk to the people.
You know, the glass walking here just briefly is a really unusual way or a tool that I just like to use that tool to show people that they can change. They can change instantly.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, it just goes to show you, Phyllis, that let's, you know, 99% of the people have a fear of glass, or 100% of the people have a fear of glass.
Absolutely.
But
that little beep, I think it means we have a caller.
Go ahead.
Do we? I guess.
Hello.
We can go ahead.
You do have a caller online.
You do have a caller. Do you want to take a call now, Robert, or you want to continue on?
No, we'll take a call.
Okay. Who are you on the air?
Hey, Robert.
Yes.
Mike
Who's
Sauer.
Who is it?
Dr. Mike in Dallas.
Michael, how are you doing, Dr. Mike?
All right, my man.
All right, Michael. Haven't seen you since August up in
New
Hampshire.
I know it. You've been busy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How about yourself?
Very good.
Well,
I had a triple bypass since the last time I saw you.
Pardon me?
I had a triple bypass in November.
You did?
Yeah.
So, Mike, you know, you could write me, call me, email me.
Well, you couldn't have helped me at that time, but...
you don't know, Mike. How are you doing? Good?
Excellent. Excellent.
Terrific, Mike.
How's
Great
your show
to hear
doing?
From you.
How's your show doing?
We just went on the air, actually, Mike.
This is your first time?
On this show, yes.
On this one, yes.
Ah, okay. And Phyllis Pricer?
Yes.
Okay, Phyllis. And where are you located?
Well, I'm in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
And our radio station is in California.
Well,
and
the
you
figures.
Know, Otto is wherever Otto is.
Well, he might be in Las Vegas.
No, I'm up in the Pocono, north of the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania here. Bad snowstorm today.
Well, I'm glad I got in because it was a little busy there for a few moments.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a
question? What are we talking about tonight? Weight loss?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful part of, wonderful show. And it works.
Sure it does.
I'm here to tell you it does work.
Michael knows all about how well that works, don't you, Michael?
Yeah, buddy.
Okay,
sure do.
So you're another successful and satisfied client, huh?
No, Michael is actually a certified therapist, and he specializes in smoking and weight loss as well.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm in Dallas.
Oh, how wonderful.
So I got Robert's email the other day, and I said, well, all right, I'm going to give it a go.
Okay.
So you got anybody else on the line, or are you just taking emails or live phone calls or both?
We're taking, as far as I know, we take phone calls, then we get back to the subject at hand. Whatever it is Robert wants to talk about, that's what we're going to do.
Good. I was going to try and meet you at the last, were you in Louisiana?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I was going to try and come down there. I just couldn't get away.
Michael, you have my email. Email me tonight after the show because
okay.
I'm going to be down in Texas doing a glass walk and stuff in June.
Where? What part?
Down around San Antonio.
Okay, excellent.
So if you email me tonight or tomorrow, Mike, I'll get back to you and I'll give you all the particulars on that. We can get together.
All right, I'll talk to Linda, too.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right, my man.
Hey, listen, you need anything, give us a call.
Absolutely, thank you.
Bless, Mike.
Take care, good luck.
Oh, how nice. It's nice to have a fan get on.
Oh, Mike, he's an excellent guy. Back what we were saying
right.
about walking on the glass,
right.
that's an excellent tool to teach people how to use their given gifted abilities from birth in a very short period of time.
Uh-huh.
It's overcoming that fear and getting on that glass and breaking it with your bare feet. And
yes.
You're a good example when you did it.
Oh, God, it was fun.
Yes.
I mean, it was like I felt something just releasing inside of me.
Right.
It popped open. And yes. I figured if I can walk on glass, I can do anything.
Well, that's probably why you're doing real well with your weight.
Well, I'm doing well with all the other things, too. I've got a lot more energy.
Uh-huh.
And I have a lot more fun and a lot of stuff to get done. And, the taping of our commercial show is going to begin next week.
Okay, great.
So, you know, I'm probably going to have you on a bit of that, too. We're going to talk about some really, really wonderful, wonderful events that have happened. And I want to talk to you about some of the miracles that have happened, and we'll do a reenactment of one of them. How's that?
Well, that would be nice.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I would be honored.
Oh, my pleasure. But, you know, the weight loss thing, it's really important because so many people work so hard.
I know.
And they try diets, and they try diets, and they fail. And there's an awful lot of self-sabotage in that, isn't there?
Well, there is. You know, one of the things in our particular profession
right.
of hypnosis is that, you know, we're normally the last resort for people who want to lose weight. I mean, this is my 26th year.
Yeah.
In hypnosis, and I used to do a lot of weight loss seminars. As a matter of fact, that's all that I did. I did those for 21 years.
Wow.
And I did over weight loss clinics alone, seminars. I did over 2,500 weight loss clinics in 21 years around
wow.
the country. And it's everyone that I ever had the opportunity to talk to
yeah.
at one of those sessions. This hypnosis was always the last resort, and it's really a shame that people don't turn to hypnosis until the last resort. I mean,
that's true.
You know, I don't want to knock any weight loss products out there, and I'm sure that they all do work, but they're geared to go back repeatedly or to eat their prepackaged foods and things of that nature. And
yeah.
it doesn't really have to be like that. You know, I was really fortunate when I started studying back in the late 1970s, 1978, 1979, and I really had the opportunity to get along with some of the greats like Saul Lewis, Walter Secord,
wow,
Matthew Sportelli, Harry Ahrens. I mean,
wow, that's wonderful. We have another caller.
Yeah, I heard that. That's why I stopped.
You're on the air. Who's calling?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is George Nigro.
Pardon?
George Nigro. I know Robert Otto.
George Nigro. He's from Los Angeles. How you doing, Georgie?
Good, Robert. How are you?
All right. Say hello to Phyllis there. She's our host this evening.
Hello, Phyllis. How are you?
Hi there. Welcome to the Higher Dimension.
Well, thank you.
How have you been, George?
Good, Robert. And you?
Good, George. Good. Real good. Everything's been fine since I got back from California.
Do you have a question for Robert tonight?
I do. I would like to say, though, that Robert is one of the most dynamic speakers, so if any of your guests see him come to town, they should make a special effort to see him.
I agree with that.
And I would like to see him go back on the road. As he said, he's done over 2,000 seminars, and I think people need him back on the road. So if any of your callers want to let him know or go to his website and let him know that they're interested in seeing him in person, he's a dynamic speaker.
Yeah.
And he's developed his own vertigo induction. I don't know if he has time to talk about it, but he might want to mention that, too, on the air.
Well, we'll ask and find out, you know. But thank you.
That sounds like a paid endorsement, George. Thank you so much.
You owe me dinner, Robert.
Give me a call later, George.
All right.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
George.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, go ahead, Robert.
So back to the glass again,
right.
I'm saying that's an excellent tool to use for teaching people how to remove their fears.
Absolutely.
And then when we get into weight loss, it's a shame that people who actually want to lose weight go out. You know, I learned back in the early 80s that one of the theories I learned was that undeveloped people always look outside of themselves for success, whereas learning or learned individuals learn to look inside of themselves for success. And that's basically what hypnosis does. We teach these people how not to go outside of themselves and use carb bars and use Weight Watcher, Lean Lines, any crap. I mean, all of that stuff works, and it really works fine. It really does. But if the people or the listeners are tired of looking outside of themselves and tired of using products to become thinner, maintain that line of thinness, well, there is a way that you can go within and learn how to allow the subconscious to do that for you.
Thoughtless work, let me tell you,
and
ladies and gentlemen.
And it works remarkably well. It's a shame that, and even people in the field of hypnosis, and I hate to say it, and I don't want to step on any toes, but I will tell you that there are a lot of therapists out there that are doing remarkable jobs in their weight loss clinics, but there's also a lot of therapists out there that are overselling the theory and practice of hypnosis as well.
Right, right.
I mean, this doesn't have to be a complicated thing, not at all. Let's keep it simple.
Well, absolutely. You know, the simpler it is, the more likely people are to go on with it.
Yeah, well,
because they have enough in their life, you know?
You know what I was taught years ago?
Right.
And that is that a confused mind always says no.
Huh,
so
that makes sense.
When therapists have these clients coming to them, I mean, there's a few basic, simple rules that we can follow. I've proved it over a 26-year period, and you can. It's a really simplified process of weight loss. I mean, people say, "Well, I hate to work with weight loss clients," and I don't know why they would hate to work with a weight loss plan, because weight loss is one of the easiest hypnotic things to use to get instant results with. I mean, we're talking within a couple of days.
It does start working that fast. This is not to toot somebody else's horn, but I had heard from someone who said they watched, I think, an Oprah Winfrey show. And she had made the comment on the show, the people that had made the comments on her show, but that hypnosis was in the final analysis for even smoking cessation, as well as weight loss, one of the best therapies to use to stop that addictive process.
Right.
So that's pretty powerful.
Right.
You know, that research has shown this. That it is a powerful tool to use. And it's simple, and it's non-invasive, and as you say, it's not repetitive costs over a period of time.
No, it is not. Now, listen, I worked with you for weight loss, Dan, when I saw you in Virginia Beach.
What was it, 10 minutes?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you. How long did I work with you?
10 minutes, if that.
About
right
10
before
minutes.
We went into
right.
shoot.
Right, right. I mean, it's not... It's not a real big deal. You know, and I just went through and I was just looking at, I literally have baskets full of testimonial letters from clients. And like Mike Stower there that called out of Texas, he as well. He ran a really good tight ship when he was doing what he was doing. And I've had a lot of people come to me over the years who have been to Mike and praised him as well. But, you know, here, let me read just a couple.
Go ahead, read some.
Here's one that's out of Gavinsport, New York. It says, "I lost 20 pounds in 2 months after one session."
Wow.
Now these are all actually one session.
Right, basically, because then you give them the tape or the CD to listen to.
Well, I give them a reinforcement card, which I'll cover here in a second. Here's one that said I lost 40 pounds from October 22nd to December 26th.
Wonderful.
2 months, 40-pound loss, okay?
That's powerful.
Here's one that lost 69. I lost 69 pounds. It really works in 8 months. Let's see here. Let me weed through here. Here's one. I attended a weight loss session on April the 11th, and I lost 41.5 pounds and dropped pant size from 50 to 42 in 3.5 months.
See? It does work.
Listen to this one here. This was out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. 55-pound weight loss, 6 months, one session.
That's great.
Here's one. Mm-hmm. This one came out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. 50-pound loss, 1 month and 11 days.
Notice how we count the days when we're working on losing weight.
Isn't it? You know, and it's not that hypnosis is an amazing thing.
Uh-huh.
It's not really. What's amazing is the inner ability that all of us human beings have.
Absolutely.
Given to us at birth. That's what's amazing. The thing that's not amazing is that, you know, they don't know how to use it. And they go outside of themselves looking at all of these different weight loss programs or products to take to maintain a thin body, which what? Doesn't work anyway.
Well, you know, I remember in the early days, the doctors would refer things like, some of these, it's barbiturates for weight loss. Back in the 60s.
Right.
I know my mom tried some, and she was put on, I can't even remember what it was now, but I know it's a barbiturate until they realized, hey, it's addictive, folks. We don't need to do that. But people have gotten since then an idea of trying to, and I remember the phase out of California about the tapeworm.
Uh-huh.
People were swallowing tapeworms to lose weight, for God's sake.
I remember that.
Oh,
I remember studying about that.
Oh, that's really, you know.
Yeah.
But then there was liquid protein.
Right.
It was fabulous.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, people realize that you eat because there's an inner stress and a self-sabotage.
Right.
Or something that you're trying to hide from.
Uh-huh.
That you build a border up, you know.
Right.
And by learning who you are and relying on yourself, that opens up.
Well, you know, that's like that George Niger that just called from California.
Yes.
He works with pro and all-star athletes, and he can take them from down slumps and losing streaks into winning streaks.
Phenomenal.
And that's exactly what George does. And I mean, he's worked with some of the nation's top key football, basketball, and baseball players. I mean, he has a tremendous record as well as showing people how to use the inner gift, how to use that inner ability, you know. In fact, Phyllis, that 99 or 95 or 99% of our society really only ever learns how to function on a conscious analytical mind.
That's true. That's
never
very true.
Never learning how to get into that subconscious mind to allow it to work for them. And something just came to mind as I was talking to you there, and it was this. Anything that's ever done on a conscious level only, those results will only ever be temporary.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. So whether it be, you know, becoming thin, never smoking again, making more money, becoming more prosperous and abundant.
Right.
If we only learn how to do these things on a conscious analytical level, those successes that we enjoy will only ever be temporary. But
good
it's
Lord.
The all-stars and the pros that learn how to eat it, smell it, taste it, feel it, drink it, sleep it, and until it becomes so ingrained in them that it's a part of them, and they don't even think about it anymore. It's a subconscious act, and those successes last for a lifetime.
Wow. You know, that's a very powerful thing. And I do understand that when you do this, when you get this self-empowerment, doesn't work just in one area of your life.
No,
it transforms your entire life.
It does. Across the board. Yes, it does. I mean, you actually learn how to apply it. You know, when you start dealing with the subconscious mind and you deal with it on a daily basis, and I talk to a lot of therapists. I do 8 or 10 national and international conventions a year, speaking to literally thousands and thousands of therapists.
Jeepers.
And my heart goes out to all of them because, you know, some of these therapists don't have enough money to do the things that they want to do. Their heart's in the right place. They really want to help the people.
Right.
So they're helping the people. But what saddens me is that these therapists should be utilizing these techniques on themselves and helping themselves become prosperous as they're helping their clients. And they can do that. But they don't think that there's room to do both, or they think that it only applies to their clients and not to themselves.
Really? Yeah. They don't get the connection.
Well, a lot of them do. I mean, I could name a lot of therapists in this country. I've been in their offices, and they have very plush offices, and they have excellent operations, and they know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
But yet there's other therapists who don't really know that they could apply these techniques for themselves. You know?
Well, you know, if you can't use it, then I guess it's like this. If something works for me, I can go out and sell up a storm, you know? So
that's
if I know it works for me, I'm one of the first people out of the gate to say, hey, if it works on me, you know, it can work on anybody. So
right.
I apply what I learned to me.
Right.
You know and that's a very good selling point, by the way. Where are you heading next? What are some of the other things that you really like to do?
Personally,
in your practice, too.
Oh, well, I like a challenge in my practice.
Okay.
You know, I had I'm above the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. I'm in what they call the Endless Mountains.
Oh, okay.
I'm closer to the Finger Lakes up in New York State.
Okay.
I had a gentleman call me from Roanoke, Virginia, who said he had been to 5 therapists and that he was actually a psychologist.
Okay.
He was not able to achieve a good state of hypnosis, and he wasn't even sure what it felt like to be hypnotized. And he had been to 5 therapists and it didn't work. And he was wondering what was wrong with him.
Uh-huh.
And he was wondering if he drove 9 hours or 10 hours to come to my office. Could I,
good Lord,
have, you know, could I induce
help
a state
yeah.
of hypnosis in him? And I guaranteed him, Phyllis, that I could. And then he said, all right, I'll make the drive up there. So we made an appointment. And then he said, I've been to 5 hypnotists. He said, I spent a tremendous amount of money. I can't get into a good state of hypnosis. And he said, what do you think is wrong with me? I told him, no, he said, what do you think is wrong? And I said, I don't think there's anything wrong. He said, there's got to be something wrong. What do you think it is? I said, I think it's the other 5 hypnotists. I said, I think that's what's wrong. So I actually wanted him to stew on that for his 10-hour drive to my office. I'm going to make a long story short. He came into my office, and I have French glass doors on each side of my office.
Uh-huh.
And I brought him in, and I sat him down in a recliner chair here, and I did a speed induction with this gentleman. And
right.
Within 30 seconds, he was literally falling on the floor. 30 seconds. I had to tap on the glass doors and have an assistant come in from the office to help me pick this guy up and set him back in the chair. And I felt so bad that I spent another hour and a half with him because I charged him to come up here. He prepaid, so I thought, well, I can't do this in 30 seconds and send you home.
No, you couldn't quite do that.
So I kept him here, and we did about 8 or 10 other inductions on him over a period of about an hour or an hour and a half.
Did he finally agree he had finally been hypnotized?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he knew that he was because he was salivating all over himself.
Well, you're the one who had people relax and run us through that, and I ended up almost on the floor.
What's this now?
When we were having that the induction over at the conference, were you, I can't remember if it was you or someone else who kept saying, tell the person to relax. And the person with me kept telling me to relax. Well, I was almost doubled on the floor.
Is that right?
I kept relaxing every time. She was trying to hold me in the chair.
Right.
So, yeah, it you do follow things when you're under, yeah. So I can understand and sympathize with you.
That's
funny.
Yeah. Back to the weight loss. You know, one of the simple, nice things to do on weight loss is to either use a reinforcement tape or a reinforcement CD in bed at night. But, you know, let me share a story with you about the simplicity of things
mm-hmm.
in weight loss and how mm-hmm. a lot of therapists really do oversell their practice or their goods or their number of visits as far as weight loss goes. And, again,
okay.
I have a slew of these, but I'm just sitting here talking to you, thinking of one that...
Go ahead. This is just a free-form talk. I told you it would be.
And I still do. If I work on any clients with weight loss, I give them what is called a keyword therapy or post-hypnotic
right.
suggestion techniques. Now,
right.
that could be used in a CD or a tape or in my case, what I used to give them for free was actually just a regular size business card.
Okay.
And on one side of the card, it had post-hypnotic suggestive techniques. For
okay.
example, it said, I am now in the process of becoming thinner and thinner. And
right.
it had a key word. And the key word was blue rose or orange blossom or whatever it was.
Right.
So then throughout the hypnotic process, you continually repeat what's on that card to your client when they're in hypnosis.
Right.
You tell them each and every time that they use this keyword orange blossom or whatever it is,
right.
any desires for sweetening, fattening food will automatically disappear.
Right.
Yada yada hoo hoo. So anyway,
yeah.
that was on one side of the card. I am now in the process of becoming thinner and thinner and whatever phrase we had at the time.
Right.
On the flip side of the card was my guarantee. And it said it was left blank so the client could sign it. And
yeah.
it said, blank has attended a Robert Otto seminar for weight control, and this weight loss clinic is guaranteed from 1 year from date stamped below.
Right.
When they used to come in, we used to have them sign their name on the top of that card,
right.
and we would stamp the date on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
That was our written guarantee that this was good for our clients for a year. So anyway, I'm up in North Haven, Connecticut,
right.
and the gentleman came in. And he was all excited, and he wanted to see me. And I had quite a few people coming in that night. And he approached me, and he asked me, could he speak to me on the side? And I said, yes. And he happened to be executive vice president of a big tire company up there in New Haven, Connecticut. I'll never forget.
Okay.
So anyway, he said, I attended your session about 3 months ago. And he said, in 3 months, I lost 32 pounds, and I'm happy, and yeah. He said, but I came to share something with you tonight. He said, in the session, you gave us that little card, and you told us to repeat the information off of the card to ourself in bed at night. And the reason that is to use a sleep learning technique
right.
in bed at night is because, let me explain to the audience here, is that it's a psychological fact that the last image, idea, or concept that we listen to as we lose consciousness,
right.
the last thing we hear or repeat as we fall asleep, is continually repeated in the subconscious acting mind all night long.
Okay.
Acting mind meaning the subconscious mind acts out any image, idea, or concept.
Okay.
So, and the example of that is this. How many of the people in the audience could unplug the alarm clock, lay in bed at night as they fall asleep, repeat to themselves a predetermined awakening time,
right.
and wake up the next morning at that time without an alarm clock?
Well, you can do that.
Got to get up at 7 o'clock,
right.
7 o'clock, okay, and they'll do that. Okay, so I've based the sleep learning technique on that exact same premise.
Okay.
So we want the last concept on the mind to be, I am now in the process of becoming thinner and thinner. Now
right.
Now in the process of, okay. So the subconscious mind, we know, moves in the direction
of
the most dominant thought.
Right.
The last dominant thought at night as you lose consciousness is there all night long. The writing's on the wall. This is a real simplified, easy way to become successful
right.
in any endeavor, okay? We don't have to complicate.
Right.
So we give the card, and you're supposed to read this in bed at night. So the guy's standing there, and he said, I lost 32 pounds in 3 months. He said, the reason I came back, he said, I memorized that through the session. I never looked at the card. And when I went home, the first thing my wife said was, Did the hypnotist make you run around the room like a dog, a frog, a bird, or a chicken?
Yeah, that's typical.
He said, but the hypnotist said if you read the information off of this card, you'll become thin too.
Okay.
He gave her the card. He never looked at it.
Okay.
So now he's standing before me. He said, I'm here to tell you tonight that how hypnosis really, really works. He said, I gave the card to my wife. She's repeated the information off of the card for the last 2.5 or 3 months.
Right.
My wife has lost 35 pounds, 3 more pounds than me.
Oh, my God.
She never came to your session. He said, but here's what I want to show you. He held that little card up that we pass out, and he said to me, Robert, what does it say on this site? I said, your name, had attended this session, and it's guaranteed for 1 year from the date stamp below March 1 of whatever the year was. He said, that's correct. He flipped the card over where it's supposed to say I'm becoming thinner and thinner.
Yeah.
He flipped the card over, Phyllis, and the other side was blank.
Really?
When it came through the printing press, it was missed. One side of the card was blank.
Oh.
His wife was actually reading the guarantee and lost 35 pounds.
Now that is hypnosis.
Now, that's the real hypnosis. The real hypnosis in this case was when he went home and told his wife that the hypnotist said, read what's on this card and you'll become thin too. He had her undivided attention and sunk right into the subconscious mind.
Right.
He believed, you know, it's that simple.
Yes.
It's that simple.
And it's that powerful.
Yes, it is.
And it is fulfilling. And I want to also put in here that you really can't harm people when you use this hypnosis technique, can you? For losing weight or doing stuff.
No one would do anything unethical or against their own beliefs or morals in hypnosis anyway. And if somebody would do something unethical or against their beliefs or morals under hypnosis, I'd like to meet that person.
Because, you know, but this is what so many people say. For example, I have even a family member, won't say who, when I told him I was studying hypnotherapy, the first thing out of his mouth was, well, that's the devil.
Well,
I said, excuse me, I don't think so.
No.
But there's that old, outworn fear factor of what's unknown and the rigidity that some people have out there, and uninformed, perhaps, or ignorant is a better word.
You know, I like to sum it up that way, that the way, you know, this. I don't want to get into religion. And
no, this is not religion we're talking about. This is just.
But I'm just saying, in one of the famous books, there was a quote that was written that said, ask and it shall be what?
Given unto you.
Yeah, right, okay?
Yeah.
So, the thing is that that's very true of the subconscious mind. However, I think the wording, when the scrolls were being written and they had the little chisels and hammers. And they were writing the word ask, I think he actually slipped because I think it should have said, tell and it shall be given.
Yes.
You know, when you tell the subconscious mind in such a way that I want this and I want that, or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to have this or I'm going to have that, the subconscious mind, you know, you have to remember an ancient Oriental philosophy, and it goes like this, darling.
I'm ready to be educated.
From birth until death, we continually move in the direction of our most dominant thought.
Right.
Let me say it again. We move in the direction of our most dominant thought.
And that's true, too.
The people in our society know that exact same rule to be true, but they've heard it in different terminology, and here it is. The rich become what?
Richer, and the poor become poorer.
Well, that's moving direction of dominant thought. Okay?
That's true, and so the advertising people know this very well.
Well, sure. So for someone to say or think that hypnosis is the work of the devil, they're actually ignoring their own inner gift from birth, that subconscious acting mind that acts out images, or that subconscious gift that moves in direction of the, they're going through life in total ignorance. They have no idea how easy it could be for them.
The person that I am thinking of is a brilliant mind, scientific mind.
Can't be too brilliant, right?
But is willing to be brainwashed by accepting somebody else's ideas, and if he doesn't, you know, he's got that old fear involved him in it. And the thing is, when you empower yourself, fear goes away.
Well, you know, fear, you know what fear is. Fear is false education appearing real.
Yes.
Or, you know, fear is really faith in the wrong thing. That's what fear is.
That makes sense.
Fear is placing faith in the wrong thing. That's a fear, okay?
That's very true.
Well, sure.
I it's really wonderful getting a chance to talk to you like this. And I'm going to say again, anybody wants to call in and talk more about this or find out more about Robert and his conferences or his training workshop seminars that he's giving, feel free to do so, because we really want you to be a participant in this show.
We're getting booked up for the year here too. We're going to be doing some glass walks down in Texas. I'm going to be doing a glass walk up in Detroit, Michigan this year.
Wow.
I have a glass walk booked in Chicago this year.
Oh,
yeah, so and that's just the glass, plus all of the other conventions and conferences that we'll be doing, you know.
Oh, yeah, it sounds to me like you're going to be really on the road. Your bags are packed and you're ready to travel.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm doing California 4 times this year. I was out there once already.
Wow.
I'll be back in California 3 more times this year, yes.
Boy, that is something else again.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think that's fabulous. And, well, you know, I really think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing, too, because you're helping people. You may be making a living, but you're also helping a lot of people when you do this.
Well, you know,
that's the other thing about hypnotherapy. It's you get a chance to do a lot of good for a lot of people.
Right. Well, you know, when I did the non-smoking and the weight loss seminars, we did those for 21 years.
Right.
And 21 years, and I decided a few years ago that I don't want to do that anymore.
Okay.
And, I decided not to really practice with the general public per se.
Okay.
And I decided a few years ago that when I retired from the, I did 5,000 of those total seminars.
Oh my gosh. It sounds like a burnout time coming up.
300 speaking engagements a year.
Oh man.
And it just got to the point where I don't want to do this anymore and I don't have to do this anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I took a couple years off. And sort of gathered my thoughts and decided to take another path. And the other path that I've chosen to take now is I would rather work with the therapist.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I don't really want to work with clients anymore.
Okay.
I would rather just work with therapists on any issue involving hypnosis, whether it be advertising or teaching speed techniques or deepening techniques or weight loss techniques or non-smoking techniques, anything to do with the therapist because my you know, after talking to so many of these people out there who really, really want to do good to the public, I just feel that I can probably help more people by helping the therapist.
Well, you know, in a sense, I think that's true.
Yeah.
So, what you're saying is you don't necessarily do this weight loss anymore, but you do reach out to the therapist.
Right. So I teach the therapist how to do the weight loss and how to become more efficient or proficient in weight loss or in non-smoking techniques or deepening techniques. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I do turn a lot of speaking engagements down throughout the year, and I do accept a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
I accept the bigger ones. Like I was down not too long ago, and I worked with the world headquarters of Burlington Coat Factory. They solicited me, and I went down and did their headquarters down there.
And what did you teach them? The weight loss?
No, non-smoking.
Non-smoking?
Non-smoking, yes.
Wow.
They wanted non-smoking throughout their corporate headquarters, and anyone that wanted to go through that non-smoking session of mine, the company actually picked the tab up for it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. But that's not really my place anymore. I mean, I'm very comfortable when I get in front of a group or a room full of people. I could stay there forever. But it's just that I don't want to do that type of therapy anymore. I did it for 21 years.
But it takes a lot out of you, doesn't it?
I would rather use my energy to help the therapist. I really would. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. I mean, I talk about, yes, I would like to go back on the road, and maybe someday I will. But I have to get this thing out of the way first, and that's just working with other therapists. You know, I just feel in my heart that that's what I should be doing right now.
Well, in a sense, you really do reach more people, don't you?
Well, I do, because, you know, my schedule could only be whatever my schedule is, wrapped around all of the other conventions that I'm doing. But if I go and if I can work at 8 or 10 different hypnosis conventions or conferences throughout the year, and I can reach hundreds of therapists, well, those hundreds of therapists can go out and help thousands of people.
Exactly. Well, that makes good sense. Well, I'm going to ask you another question now, darling. How did you get into this? What started you on this little path?
Oh, boy. You know, I never thought anybody would ever ask me that.
I'm asking you because I want to know.
This is actually the second time that anyone ever even asked me that question.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's important.
Well, I was in sales back in the 70s, okay? And I was in sales through 70 up through 1976, and
okay.
I sold fire alarm equipment, and I actually had a franchise from a company out of California.
Okay.
And I had two offices over here. I had one in Pennsylvania, and I had an office in Somerville, New Jersey.
I know Somerville. I went to school in New Jersey, so I know it.
Okay. Actually, I was in Manville, which is just a little town off of the side of Somerville.
Know it, yes.
Okay. And so I, between that office and the office in Pennsylvania, had about 85 people working for me.
Okay.
And it was a fire alarm company. And I'm going to make it real short and sweet, is that one of the homes that we had some of our products installed in actually had burned down. And in that fire, the family lost 2 children. With our product in there on the wall.
Oh, my.
And, well, it wasn't my product. It was a product from California. Through a major Fortune 500 company, actually. But anyway, I was the one that one of my sales reps sold it. My installation people installed it.
Yeah.
And this happened. And so it was a really bad, bad deal. And it was over a 2-year investigation in the state of New Jersey before this came out. But this, you know, they basically had wanted to come to me and put the blame on me. So I sold the company immediately, and I didn't do anything for a while. And finally somebody said, you should go see a hypnotist. And I said, what could they do? Well, you should go see one. So I sought out a hypnotist, and I did 1 appointment a week, 2 appointments a week. I was doing 4 appointments. I just loved it. Finally, this hypnotist said to me, his name was Frank Bracco, actually, and he was working with the Philadelphia Eagles football team. This was in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, I'm a featured speaker at a hypnosis convention, the Institute of Relaxology in Camden, New Jersey. Walter Secourt and Sarah are doing this convention. Come down. He said, the room's already paid for. If you don't mind bunking with me, he said, come with me and see what's going on. That was October 1978. I went down there. I walked in on the convention, and there was Barry Konovac was there from the World Congress of Professional Hypnotists. I believe Ann Spencer was down there.
Okay.
There was just a bunch of people. And I walked in that room October 1978, and I said, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And I 2 years after that, the story came out about the house burning down and the children that were lost. And the statement was, it actually made front page, that if the fire alarm system was not installed in there, the entire family would have perished. And the reason that the 2 children were lost in that fire was because one was in the house and the mom sent the other one back in for one.
Oh, no.
So, but I didn't know that. And so for 2 years, I walked around thinking that, you know, partially blaming myself. And so it took a while to get over that, and hypnosis actually helped, and that's how I got involved in hypnosis, and here I am. And that actually happened in 1976, around August of 76 was when that fire was.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can see why you did go, because you got help so much.
Well, yeah, you know, so it just goes to show you that sometimes out of the worst scenario or the worst disaster,
good comes.
The best things can grow from that, you know.
Well, yeah, and you were probably meant to move, and you probably would never have moved into this field to do the good that you've done forever since.
Right. Yeah, and you're probably right.
Yeah, I understand that. That's phenomenal.
They,
I think
you
that's
know,
wonderful.
I've been asked, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do different? And I, the only thing I would do different is that I would have went into hypnosis at a younger age. That's really what I regret. It's that I didn't get there earlier, you know?
Oh, but, you know, that's kind of wonderful. I kind of fell into hypnotherapy myself in an odd way, and you know, didn't think I'd ever do it more than just, you know, for interest. You know, through the ARE, the Edgar Cayce Institute down in Virginia Beach. And kind of fell into it in a similar way because I was told it was good. Although I tried it with a psychotherapist. I have to tell you this. I was having therapy once, and I don't think she ever did induce me.
Is that right?
Yeah. She had taken one of the weekend courses that medical people often do.
Right.
And I don't think I ever went under with her.
Uh-huh.
I tried hard.
right.
You know, because it seemed like that's the thing to do.
Right.
But I honestly don't think I did. And that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess you just have to have a rapport, too.
Right.
In some, when it's one-on-one.
Right. Well, but, you know, I'm just looking at different titles and statements here, and I was speaking with Ann Spencer from the International Medical and Dental Hypnotherapy Association.
Yeah.
And she had sent an article or something about I should do a speech on the future of hypnosis.
Right.
The future is now. And you know what?
Yes.
I really have to agree with her. The future of hypnosis is we're in the future now.
Absolutely.
You know? Because and I feel that everybody involved, and again, I could name therapists all over the world.
Right.
Guys like George and like Mike out of Texas and stuff.
Right.
These guys, they've been in this long enough and their heart's in the right place and they know that as well as that, you know, there's going to be a lot of new, big and exciting things, I believe, in the medical field within the next couple of years coming up.
Really? Can you give them an example?
Actually, the goal of the International Medical and Dental Hypnotherapy Association is to have a practicing hypnotherapist in every major hospital or health institution or clinic.
Yeah.
And we see this occurring more and more every day. That was one of Ann Spencer's goals. And, had she not planted that goal 20 years ago when she started her organization, someone today would just now be thinking about doing it, and it would be another 20 years before it occurred?
Well, in the medical field, I'm going to have to agree with you. They are slow.
Yeah.
They are slow learners. They got a long learning curve.
Right. So she started her program and her organization 20 years ago. So the future is now. Now is the time. It's not, it's not next year.
Next
or
month
the year
or that.
After.
Well,
the
actually.
Time is now.
Yeah, I know.
But there's
still a little resistance, and I can't quite understand it. Everybody goes around and hems and haws on this.
On what?
On hypnotherapy. They still hem and haw.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the ones that hem and haw. It's usually the ones with the lower educational level that hem and haw. Because anyone with a higher education and anyone who knows what the powers of hypnosis are, they're not going to hem and haw, okay?
I have to agree. I found it very useful myself. You know, I'm a certified hypnotherapist myself.
Right.
And I find it very useful dealing with it. I'll tell you what I found it useful. When I'm working in the medical field and dealing with contracts with people, I used it. Got really agreeable terms.
Oh, is that right?
Very well with the people across the table from me.
I tease a lot of my family members often that whenever they want to go buy a car or get a good deal on real estate, take me with them.
Absolutely. I may bring you along because I want to buy a car. Somehow guys do a lot better than women in negotiation.
Yeah.
Not across the board, but I think that still holds true often enough.
The future of hypnosis is really now.
It
and
is.
Now is the time that anybody practicing hypnosis, I personally feel, and I'm going to commit myself and I'm going to say Fear Act. Because, you know, my theory is this when it comes to hypnosis. If a member of the AMA walked into your office or clinic, would they be impressed or would they want to close you down?
Exactly. Exactly. I have a question because I ran across this, and this is for some of the hypnotherapists who are not licensed or registered or certified in a medical health field, like a nurse or an MD or psychotherapist,
right.
Do you think that that people who are not licensed and registered in some now recognized field, should they be excluded from becoming a hypnotherapy or practicing? Should it be just kept exclusively for the MD type things?
No, listen to me. Just because he's an MD.
Yes.
Or a psychologist.
Right, right.
There's a lot of psychologists out there who are paper psychologists. In other words, they
mm-hmm.
get their degrees in psychology from correspondence school done in the mail.
Huh.
And they call themselves psychologists. That doesn't make them a good hypnotist. Being a medical doctor, I believe that I was taught that a medical doctor must have hypnosis training. You know how much of it he must have?
Really?
4 hours.
For only 4 hours?
That's all that they have to have is 4 hours. So listen,
my God, that's not enough to shake a stick at.
Right. So, you know, so for the illusion is that medical doctors may be a good hypnotherapist. Well, then the illusion should also be that, let me remove your appendix, okay?
As soon as I have 4 hours of training.
Yeah. But no. So just because they're a psychologist or they're a medical doctor or whatever, that doesn't mean that they're a good therapist or a good hypnotist.
Well, I kind of tend to agree with you because the person I met, I wouldn't want to hit, and who was espousing this, he happened to be a PhD, by the way.
Right.
A psychotherapist himself or a psychologist.
Okay.
But he's trying to push, and there's a school of thought that only, you know, PhD should do this. It's too dangerous for non-certified medical people. But I've been in the medical field in healthcare staffing, better than 30 years.
Right.
Let me tell you, I've met some people that I wouldn't let touch my puppy dogs, work on me from a therapeutic standpoint.
That's very true. You know, so just because they are what they are doesn't give them, doesn't necessarily mean that they're a good hypnotherapist.
Well, my psychotherapist that I love dearly, she was so nice, but she just couldn't hypnotize me.
Right.
And we gave it up. I mean, she gave it up, or I did. I said, finally, this is not working, so that was the end of that. She had a weekend of training.
Right. Well, there you go.
Session one weekend.
Right. I mean, I practiced 21 years full-time, and I'm going to tell you what. For 21 years that I practiced was a learning curve.
I learned
all through 21 years, okay?
Yeah.
Then when I retired from full-time practice and decided to go and start teaching at all of these conferences and doing my own 2 and 3 day workshops for therapists.
Right.
This has been a learning curve again. Okay.
Well, it is. I mean, you never really do stop learning, do you?
No, you don't.
You don't want to, actually, in a way.
I was just teaching a guy. He's a young boy. He just come into hypnosis out in California a week ago.
Yep.
He's just new and he's just finished school and he wanted to learn some speed induction techniques and he had one of my videos or DVDs and he watched it. But anyway, he came to me and he said, I want to know, would you just help me on the side to show me some of these inductions? I said, well, let's find a couple of people, victims or whatever you want to call them, that to practice on for speed inductions. And I went in and wished a lot of these people 10, 15 second speed inductions, okay? And they went very, very well. And he tried it and he couldn't get it to work and he couldn't get it to work and he couldn't get it to work. And he said to me, how do you make it work so fast and so easy?
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is confidence.
The more confidence
you have, the more powerful you become in working with these tools, okay?
That is true. You have to believe in what you're doing.
Well, you have to believe, and you have to have that self-confidence, okay? And I pounded him out there for 3 days until I saw him do some of these induction techniques. Okay.
Uh-huh.
He just didn't have the self-confidence to do it.
Well, I think that's something that does come with a little time.
Sure does. But I don't, back to I don't feel that hypnosis should ever be licensed in any state as a specialty or a state license, because I mean, where are we going to draw the line here? You know,
right?
We're not prescribing anything.
That's right. Oh, but you know, some states are kind of backward. I won't name them on the air. We all know who they are. But there are some states that are very, very difficult to deal with in these areas. They just want to clamp down, and you can't really truly harm somebody. You know,
no,
with hypnotherapy,
really.
You're really basically just teaching people to go within themselves to do what they already know to do.
Well, the first thing on you know, my generalized thinking about harming anyone is this, and I'm practicing 26 years now.
Yeah.
My specialty is non-smoking, weight loss, and working with these people on speed inductions and deepening techniques, and that's
right.
Let me tell you something. If somebody came to me with an ache or a pain or an itch or a fingernail biting problem, do you
right.
know what? I wouldn't even work with them. I'd
right.
send them to somebody who does that.
Gotcha.
That's not my field. I'm not going to go there, and I'm not going to go there and do it for a one-time fee
right.
and have that person fall and fail and talk bad about me. I'm not going to
exactly.
have that. I've got a
exactly.
reputation to live up to here, you know?
Right.
So the thing is with these hypnotherapists is that they are taught, generally speaking, they're taught
mm-hmm.
not to go outside of their realm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
if
okay.
If you haven't been taught in that, don't deal with that. And that's the major thing here, that if it's not being taught in a lot of these places, it should be. Don't go beyond your realm. And you know,
exactly. So that makes very good sense in any field that you go into.
You look at a lot of these hypnotist cards, their business cards, and I love every one of them, I do.
Right.
But they don't, and a lot of them are starving, and they can't understand why. Take one look at their business card. They're
uh-huh.
a Reiki master, they're a massage,
therapist.
They're a hypnotherapist, they do fears, phobias, nail biting, they do age regression, past life regression. They talk to the animals. They use rocks and crystals and magnets. And all of this is on their business card.
Yeah.
Why don't you learn to specialize in one or two things? Spend the rest of your life there if you want to make the big money. That's where it's at.
Well, you can't be all things to everybody.
You have to remember, a divided man is unstable in all of his ways.
The what man?
A divided man.
A divided man is
yeah.
unstable.
Is unstable.
You know, that makes very good sense.
Pardon me?
That makes darn good sense.
For sure. A divided man is unstable because they're trying to do everything. They become the jack of all trades and the master of none.
Makes good sense.
Why don't you become the master of one thing? Because people
and do it really well.
People in our society have been taught, when you have a problem, go see a what?
Specialist. Well, it depends on what the problem is.
Go see a specialist,
yeah.
right? Well, sure.
Okay.
That's like, you know, people come to you. Because
right.
you specialize in whatever you're specializing in.
Exactly.
Well, that's where you have to get a reputation, and get a reputation built as a specialist. You know?
Well, that makes good sense, and that's good marketing sense too, by the way.
Well, it does, and it makes your practice look more professional rather
exactly.
than a Barnum and Bailey Ringling Brothers Circus.
Three Ring Circus, exactly.
You know?
I know, inventing yourself. And if you want to learn something else over time and add it, that makes good sense too.
Either add it or put it on another separate business card.
Well, that's a good idea too.
You
for
know,
what you want to do, absolutely.
Right. If you specialize in something, that's fine. And if you want to play around with something else, print it on another card and pass that other card out.
Okay.
You know, don't ever put a lot of things all jumbled up on you know, on one business card.
Well, I think that's fabulous.
You know, like the National Guild of Hypnotists up in New Hampshire?
Right.
They run a really nice organization, too, and they strive on a yearly basis to keep hypnosis in its purest form. And
okay.
They, if you ever get a chance, Phyllis, it's in August, you should actually go up there and
I would that. Like to. I've never had the opportunity arise that I could do so when I wanted to,
uh-huh.
but I think maybe this year I'm going to be able to do so, you know, having the show.
Yeah.
And the TV, that's going to give me a lot of freedom to do stuff that I haven't been able to do before. I'd love to go.
They are excellent promoters of hypnosis to the finest degree. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'll talk to you before August, but if you decide that you want to go up there,
right?
I would be more than happy up there to show you around and you know.
Oh, I would love it.
Yes, it would be great. And you're more than welcome also. Don't forget our convention in October, International Medical and Dental Hypnotherapy Association.
Yeah, I follow Patton, keeps wanting me to get there.
In
and
Detroit,
I think
Michigan.
I'm going
to
have to
go.
Huh?
Who wants you to?
Father Patton.
Oh, well, Father Marty Patton.
Marty Patton,
lovely.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
he's
then
a,
you should come up
there.
He's
a doll baby.
It's our 20th anniversary celebration.
Is it really?
IMDHA this year, yes.
Wow.
Go on the website, International Medical and Dental Hypnotherapy Association. This is going to be a big blowout 20th anniversary bash.
And when is it? October?
October, yes.
Okay, I think I'm going to pencil in it. I'm going to talk to you after, you know, I'm going to talk to you open today, or you can send me an email. Let me know when it is. I'll apply for it.
I'm
going
like
to go.
I will do that, but I will tell you that that convention is going to be October the 27th, 8th, and 9th. I think 26th through the 29th.
26th through the 29th, and that's up in New Hampshire, right?
No. This
Vermont.
Is in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, Detroit. Oh, that's the one in Detroit. Okay, got it.
International Medical Dental Therapy Association, IMDHA.
IMDHA, yes.
Well, listen,
I would love it.
if you're going to travel and go to any of those conventions, I suggest that you know, those two are good. There's a good one in Miami, Florida in May.
I haven't heard about that one.
That'd be another good organization for you to go to.
Okay.
International Association of Counselors and Therapists.
That I'm not familiar with, but the first two are just fabulous, and I really want to go and make it.
Uh-huh.
And get known and meet people, because
yep.
I think it's very important to, you know, have support in
yep.
this field.
Yep. Well, I suggest to you Detroit, Michigan, and the one up in, it's actually Boston now. The National
in Boston?
Guild. Yep.
Where?
Pardon me?
Which one is in Boston, dear?
That's the National Guild of Hypnotists.
Oh, okay.
The NGH.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask, is there anything else you'd like to tell the people? If there's any more time to call, people better call now before, because we're coming down to the downside of our hour, and I'd like them to get in and call and talk to you, anybody who'd like to. So feel free to call, and meanwhile, please give your contact information for those who would like to get in touch with you.
Okay. Yes, they can email me at they can go onto my website. They can reach me through my site. We have a big shopping cart and a hypnosis product available at robertottohypnosis.com.
Uh-huh.
And they can reach me at that same address, robert@robertottohypnosis.com.
Okay, excellent. I am so glad that you were able to come on the air tonight, and I'm sorry about the mix-up.
No, that's okay. That's fine.
You know, these things do happen, and I love talking to you, and I'm love seeing you again.
Yes.
And your lovely, lovely wife.
Okay.
And I hope to get to talk to you real soon.
Well, I'd hope to see you, you know, if not before, maybe in August at the Guild.
Absolutely.
Okay, and if and when you want information on either one of those conferences,
okay,
you have my email or you have my office phone number. Okay,
I got it.
And if you decide that that's what you want to do and you would like to attend one of those, like I said, I'd be more than happy to take you up there and introduce you to.
Fabulous.
Okay.
I would love it. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for allowing me to be a part of the show here this evening.
Okay.
And, it was great. I hope to see you soon.
I hope to. And thank you again for your time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Later.
Okay.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimensions saying goodbye for our show for this week. Next week, we're going to be back on with Henry Reed, who is a teacher at the Atlantic University, which is affiliated with the American Association of Research and Enlightenment, the ARE, in Virginia Beach. And Henry Reed is a psychologist, but he also does dream interpretation, and he works with the intuitive heart, and I think it's an absolutely fascinating show. I am so grateful to Robert Otto for his time and his lovely wife who helped set it up. And any questions, please feel free to contact us through bbsradio.com or you have Mr. Otto's web address. We look forward to hearing you again next week. We look forward to talking to you. And this is Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for The Higher Dimensions. Good night.
Thanks, Phyllis.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.